Glad for everyone that's here this morning. I appreciated the service so far. I enjoyed the singing and Lauren's devotional and our Sunday school class. I'm going to start off this morning by telling you a story that I read here recently. It was in 1980, and there was a young man who was working over in a college in Kansas. And at Thanksgiving, he came over to St. James, Missouri, or headed towards St. James, Missouri, to be with his grandparents. And he was one of the last ones to leave. He worked as a chef in the college kitchen. And everybody else took off early, so he had to stay there until partway through the day on Wednesday. And so he left Wednesday afternoon and headed across Missouri and hit snow, a freak snowstorm for us. We don't often get a lot of snow in this time of November. I know yesterday St. Louis got hammered pretty good, but that's not super common for us. But he got into some, and maybe some of you remember this, 1980, a snowstorm that came through. Came down thick and fast and heavy. It was wet snow. It piled up fast. The snow plows couldn't keep up. And somewhere in the farmland around Jefferson City, he was on a little side road. I'm not sure if the main road was blocked or what the deal was, but he was on kind of a more of a rural road and hit a slick patch and slid down in the ditch. Everything went spinning around for a while, and he came to rest, and he was okay, but car couldn't get out. And he tried starting it. It wouldn't start down in there, and he thought, well, it's probably something to do with the way it's sitting here. And of course, 1980, no cell phones, and he had a jacket, but he wasn't necessarily dressed to stay out there all night. It was dark, but he had remembered coming down the road just, I don't know, not too far back, mile or so, there he had seen a farmhouse, so he hiked down through the snow and got to this farmhouse, and the people there let him use the phone to call a tow company. They said, you know, we're really, really busy right now. We're pulling everybody out of the ditch, so we'll get to you when we can get to you, but we have no idea when that's going to be. And the man that was at that house said, I'm sorry, I wish you could stay here, but we're fixing to go somewhere for Thanksgiving too, so you'll have to go back to your car. So he went hiking back to his car, and the night wore on, and he was getting colder and colder, and there was still no sign of the tow truck anywhere, and nobody was coming down the road. And he thought, you know, I'm going to freeze to death if I stay out here. I'm going to have to find at least some kind of shelter somewhere. Tried starting the car again, and it wouldn't go. And so he got up on the road and kind of walked back and forth, and he saw way back off the road a ways, he saw a light. And he thought, well, let me go back towards that. And so he started heading there, found the driveway through the snow, and it was a long lane. He hiked back, got there, and here the outside porch light was on this farmhouse. He went up there, and so cold and wet, and he knocked on the door, and no answer. No one was at home. He could see the lights were off. It was dark. He thought, oh no, what am I going to do now? But he tried the doorknob, and in true rural fashion, the door was unlocked. So he stepped inside and cautiously called out several times, because he was wise enough to know that you don't just go barging into a house in Missouri and expect everything to be okay. He shouted out and nobody answered, and he took his shoes and his wet coat off, and it was warm in there, and he kind of went around the house calling, and it was dark. No one was at home. So he thought, well, I guess I'll just stay here. I'll try to see. He couldn't quite see where his car was down there. He called his grandparents, told them what was happening. Said he's going to be delayed. He doesn't know, you know, how long it's going to take till his tow truck comes, but he's at this house, and kind of told them roughly where he was, and never did see these tow truck lights come. But eventually he decided, you know, I can't stay in here. What if these people come home or something and find me in here? And so he went hiking back down to the road, and here the tow truck had come. The snow was just falling thickly enough he hadn't seen it. But the car was back up on the road, but it wouldn't start. It was some kind of something had happened with the electrical, and it had gone sliding down in there, and it would not start. So he trudged back up the lane again, up to this house, and decided, you know, I'll just try this. And he wrote a note. He thought, well, I'll go lay on the couch. And he wrote a note and explained kind of the situation, left some money there, at least thought that would be a buffer if somebody came in the door. And went in and stretched out on the couch, and he was laying in there. And thought, man, you know what? It's been a long time since I ate. But he was feeling, he thought, yeah, is it okay to eat their food? I mean, it's one thing for shelter, but, you know, if I would go and open their fridge and eat their food, that would feel a little bit like stealing. I don't know. But his stomach started to rumble, and he finally thought, well, maybe I'll just see what they have once. And so he went over there, and he opened the fridge, and he was just kind of rearranging stuff in the fridge to see what was in there, and he heard the front door open, and his heart sank. Oh, no. These people are going to come in, and here I is, this stranger, rummaging in their fridge. And the first thing he heard was a woman's voice saying, I thought I turned off all the lights. Well, it's nothing to do but step out there and introduce himself at that point. And naturally, the people were a little bit surprised, but they didn't pull out a gun and shoot him. They were actually very warm and friendly. They said, oh, they expected that if somebody was in their house on a night like this, something was wrong. And so they said, what's going on? Can we help you? And he explained the situation to them, and they said, oh, come on in, sit down. They went and got some strawberry rhubarb pie and ice cream, and they sat around the kitchen table and talked, and said, now you've got to stay for the night. I'm sure that no tow truck, he had said, I tried to call tow truck company again, and the line was just busy. And they said, oh, they're going to be out there pulling people out of the ditch all night. Just stay here for the night. And he said, well, I'll just lay on the couch. They said, no, you won't. They went and got the guest room all ready for him. And they stayed up late talking. And the next morning, they made a hot breakfast for him. And then the tow truck came, and they made sure he got down to his car safely and sent him on his way. I almost think they sent some food with him. I don't remember that for sure. But he, you know, tow truck took him to I think it was Jefferson City then, and there his grandparents came and took him on. And after he left, he realized, you know what? I never got any contact information for these people. I didn't get a phone number for them. I never even took a picture of them. He remembered their names. But years went by, and he told this story every Thanksgiving. He got married. He told his children this story. They all knew about this couple that had taken care of him when he was kind of out there on his own. Years later, he moved to somewhere in Southwest Missouri. I'm not sure where, and was driving through the area and said, "You know what? I'm just going to stop in." And he stopped in, and he said the porch light was on. And he said, there was something in that just broke me. That it was that that symbol of hospitality again, welcoming. The porch light is on. You're welcome to come in. No one was at home. He left a note and some chocolates. And a couple years later, he was coming through the area again, and he stopped in. And this time, someone was home. It was the son of the man that had been there for him. And the man himself had passed away, but he said, you're a legend in our family. He said, we tell this story at our Thanksgiving meals. Every Thanksgiving we talk about this young man who showed up and who was such a blessing to my folks. He said we talk about how much fun we had that Thanksgiving when all of a sudden you showed up, and we tell this to our children. And we tell them, this is why you need to be friendly to everyone, because you never know when somebody's going to need some help, and you will enrich your life by helping them. And the title of my devotional this morning is Blessings of Hospitality. And it just made me think of that this young man thought he was the one who had received the blessing. He was the one who had been helped. He had passed this story on to his children. He said, he told them, you need to help people, because this is what happened to me and I was helped, and we need to do this to other people. Well, the family that had helped him said, we're the ones that felt like we got the blessing. We got to meet this young man that we never would have met otherwise, and we have this story to tell. And it made me think, you know, we all sometimes look at hospitality as a command. You know, this is something you should do. We're told to be hospitable. The Bible, and as I was looking in some verses for the Bible, I was thinking there's like four or five verses maybe in the Bible that talk about hospitality. There's lots and lots, so I'm not going to read nearly all of them today. But there's so many blessings that come from being hospitable. So that's what I would like to look at. Not so much as you need to be hospitable, as the good things that come to us when we are hospitable. And I don't have an exhaustive list here, but I believe that hospitality is more of a mindset than a deliberate action. This man that this couple that took care of this young man, this was simply a way of life for them. Their porch light was on, the door was unlocked. His son said, as he was talking to this man years later, he said, "Oh, my dad would do this he never met a stranger. He was always looking for people to help." So it was something that was a normal aspect of these people's life. I think that hospitality simply means we open our homes, we open our lives, we open our hearts, and we share with others. I think it can be a deliberate action where we bring out the china and we serve a full course meal. But it can also simply be sitting down over a cup of tea and sharing our hearts with each other. So some of the blessings of hospitality that I thought of. One is that it expands and strengthens friendships. Another is that it helps us make new friends. Another is that obedience to biblical commands brings blessings. Another is that we are better able to appreciate the hospitality of others because we know what goes into it. And then another one is that it gives us an opportunity to share the things we have. I'm going to read a number of verses that the Bible talks about hospitality. The first one is Romans 12, verses 9 through 13. We read these in our Sunday school class this morning. "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality." This is talking about within a brotherhood, with our friends. It builds us up. It strengthens those friendships. Romans 16, verses 1 through 2 say, "I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also." When we are hospitable, often it comes back to benefit us. And there's a warmth of feeling that we get when we are hospitable. Helps us make new friends and build our portfolio of experiences. And there's lots of stories that I could tell about that. There's lots of stories that all of you could tell about that. Luke 14, verses 12 through 14, Jesus said, "Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. For they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." And that also ties in with my point that obedience to biblical commands brings a blessing. Whenever we obey the things God asks us to do, there's a blessing that he gives us for that. Ephesians 6, verses 7 and 8 say, "With goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord." 2 Corinthians 9, 7, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." We often associate that with tithes, but I think the same thing can be true of ourselves and our homes. A cheerful giver, cheerful hospitality. And aren't cheerful people a blessed people? Leviticus 9, 33 through 34, this is talking about how we can appreciate the hospitality of others. And that's a blessing. "If a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him, but the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. 1 Peter 4:8-10. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And one of the blessings of hospitality is being on the receiving end. It feels good when someone opens their homes to us, when somebody wants to be with us. An invitation says, I want to spend time with you. And that's a blessing that we receive when we are invited somewhere. And we were last Sunday, I thought of this, we were down at La Russell for the Sunday, and they were so warm and welcoming and kind and hospitable, and it felt good. And it just made me think, you know, that's what I want to be to others, because there's a warmth that says, we're glad you're here. We're glad that you came to spend time with us. And it doesn't need to be much. Some of the best memories that I have of being hosted might have been over egg sandwiches or pancakes for supper, or sometimes it was simply a glass of water. There was once that, this was in Bangladesh, and I was invited, I was just walking down the street, and some people invited me into their home, a poor little mud hut that was falling down in the one corner, and the roof was made out of like grass. And they were so happy that I came in there. And they didn't have good water to drink in the house, so they sent one of the little boys running down the street or the path down to where there was a pump, and he got me a glass of water. And that's what they gave me. But it was the expression, we're so glad you're here. And I think maybe it's, we want to show people how glad we are when they come. And so we try to lay out a royal spread for them. That's the way we say, we love you, we're glad you're here. But it doesn't have to be. Not downing that at all. That's good. But there's also sometimes where it's simply good just to say, you know what, we just want to be together. We don't have much to share with you tonight. But we're glad that you're here and we can spend some time together. And that opportunity to share is a tremendous blessing of hospitality. 3 John 5-8, say, Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. When we can share, that reveals our blessings, the things that we have, and that increases our thankfulness, I think. So in conclusion, those who extend hospitality live a life full of blessings. And I pray that God will bless each one of you as you practice hospitality, as I know you do in your homes. I'm going to close with Hebrews 13, verse 2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Let's kneel for prayer.